it's Andrea from Grizzly Grapes. Unfortunately for me, I am solo today, so I'm going to be doing something just a little bit different. Emily is flying back to Paris as I record this, and while I'll miss her dearly already, it's been a lot of fun having her back in the same time zone, even if just for a few months. I'm very excited for her as she continues her journey. I am drinking tonight, so at least I haven't broken that routine. I am drinking what I believe Emily's had before. It's the Decoy Premium Seltzer. It's the Sauvignon Blanc with quote-unquote vibrant lime. And let me tell you, the lime is very vibrant. It wouldn't be my favorite thing. Definitely worth trying, but it has the weirdest roller coaster of flavors I've ever been through in my entire life. So if you want to experience that for yourself, you can go give it a try. Now, if you listen to the show for banter, I apologize, as it's just me today. I could try and pretend to be both Emily and I, but I probably will terrify Brendan and my neighbors. It's not like I want to try and be funny today, because the topic this week is actually something very somber and serious. With that being said, I wanted to take some time this week to cover a case that has absolutely rocked the nation, and that is Gabby Petito. Everything is changing by the minute in this case, but I wanted to discuss details that we know now, particularly because the person of interest, Brian Laundrie, is still missing at this time. Gabby Petito is a 22-year-old woman hailing from Long Island, New York. Her and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, decided to take time off in the summer and drive their renovated van across the country. Gabby's family reports she was extremely excited to start her journey. Brian Laundrie, 23, whose family now hails from Florida, had posted to his Instagram story videos of himself working on the white van in which they planned to travel in. Both posted to their social media excitedly in preparation of their trip. The pair left from Blue Point, New York, where Gabby grew up, after Gabby spent time celebrating her younger brother's high school graduation with her family. They departed New York early July for their four-month trip across the nation. According to some sources, Brian and Gabby were engaged and referred to each other as fiancé. However, with the upcoming journey and with the pandemic, the two put wedding plans on pause. Some had even said that they had even broken off the engagement and just reverted back to being significant others. The pair appeared happy, posing together in posts on Instagram, smiling by national monuments along their trail. However, we all know social media is a carefully curated depiction of someone's life and does not give deeper insight into what is going on. It appears that Brian had a jealous side, according to one of Gabby's friends. It also seems as though Brian does not always get along with Gabby's family either. Another insight into Gabby and Brian's relationship occurred when the pair was pulled over on August 12th in Moab, Utah, following a 911 report of a domestic disturbance, and when a police officer noticed the van driving erratically and eventually hitting a curb. When Gabby stepped out of the car, she was crying and appeared extremely upset. Brian was talking fast and energetically, chalking it up to adrenaline. Brian stated that the couple had gotten into an altercation after he had gotten into the van with dirty feet. Gabby said that they had been fighting all morning and that she was upset, stating that she had been working on her travel blog and was stressed while Brian was telling her it would never be successful. Brian allegedly locked Gabby out of the van at one point while they were in Moab, and Gabby feared that he would leave her there. Brian alleges that Gabby slapped him after this incident. He said that they hit the curb because when they were being pulled over, Gabby grabbed for the wheel. Gabby mentioned that she had a diagnosis of OCD, which she was not receiving medication for at the time. And I'm going to play a small portion of that interaction now.
Do you want to place your vehicle in the park and go ahead and turn it off? No, park.
Oh, it isn't park yet.
Okay, turn your engine. Go ahead and set your keys on the dashboard. All right. What's your guys' names?
Gabby.
Gabby, Brian. Okay. What's going on? How come you're crying?
I'm just crying. We've been fighting this morning. Some personal issues.
It was a long day. We were camping yesterday, and camping got stuff, flies and stuff. I'm sorry. I hit the bump there.
I was distracting him from driving. I'm sorry.
Can I get you to step out of the vehicle for me, man?
Yeah.
Just hang tight right there. Do you mind if I take your keys and just put them on your hood?
I'm so
Thank
sorry.
You. Oh, no, you're fine. I'm going to go ahead and close your door. Okay. How much more are you? SO229, I have the female that was on the passenger seat separated from the male. Keys are on the hood. You want to talk about time?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something. I have really bad OCD, and I was just cleaning and painting up back of the van before, and I was apologizing to him and saying, I'm sorry that I'm so mean, because sometimes I have OCD and sometimes I get really frustrated. I'm not, like, mean towards him. I just, like, I guess my vibe is, like, I'm like in a bad mood. I'm sorry if I'm in a bad mood. I'm just really stressed. I had so much work I was doing on my computer this morning.
What do you do for a living?
I think we're getting all organic juice bar, but I just quit my job.
Okay.
I was a nutritionist. That was my
That's
job.
Cool.
And I just got quit my job to travel across the country. And I'm trying to start a blog. So I've been building my website. So I've been really stressed. And I like believe that I can do any of it. So that's kind of been like a, I don't know, he's like in, down there. I don't know, we've been fighting all morning and he wouldn't let me in the car before. And then
Why wouldn't he let you in the car? Because
you're OCD. He told me I need to calm down. Yeah. But I'm perfectly calm. I'm calm all the time. And he really is stressing me out. And this is a rough morning.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't I sit you down in the back seat of my car? You're not in any trouble, okay? I'm not going to be putting handcuffs on you. You obviously don't have any weapons. I'm going to get you into the air conditioning, let you take a breath, relax a little bit, and then I'll come back and talk to you in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The body cam footage did not come as a surprise to Gabby's family, as she had called them when the van was pulled over. In fact, Gabby kept in frequent contact with her family during her travels. She would text and FaceTime her parents to keep them abreast of all her adventures. This is why it was strange when, during the last week of August, Gabby's communication with her family altogether ceased. The last time Gabby's family physically spoke with her was a FaceTime call between her and her mother on August 24th. In this call, she tells her mother that they are leaving Utah and headed to the Teton Range in Wyoming. On August 25th, Gabby texts her mother multiple updates, and her family believes that she, at this point, had made it to the Tetons. Her family receives more texts on the 27th of August as well. But then, Gabby's last text comes on August 30th to her mother, and all it reads was, quote, no service in Yosemite, unquote. Gabby's family at this point does not believe that this text was sent by her. The days that followed were excruciating for Gabby's family as they reached out to both her and Brian, hoping for just a text or a sign that the two were safe. That never came. Gabby's family grew more and more concerned with each passing day until it was unbearable. And the strangest part was, alongside no response from Gabby or Brian, there was no response from Brian's family as well. Gabby's father, who lived in Florida, drove to the house of the Laundries on September 10th, desperate for answers. But no answers came, only the Laundries' lawyer's information at the door. Gabby's parents did not even realize at the time, but on the same day they filed for her missing persons report in Long Island, New York, on September 11th, they found out that Brian was home in Northport, Florida, and he returned on September 1st in the white van that he shared with Gabby. But Gabby was still nowhere to be found. The van was later recovered by police and is still being processed at this time. Met with this stubborn refusal to cooperate from Brian and his family, and frustrated and concerned about the mystery of Gabby's whereabouts, Gabby's family released this letter to the media addressed to the Laundries on September 16th. And it goes like this, quote, "We are writing this letter to ask you to help find our beautiful daughter. We understand you are going through a difficult time and your instinct to protect your son is strong. We ask you put yourselves in our shoes. We haven't been able to sleep or eat and our lives are falling apart. We believe you know the location where Brian left Gabby. We beg you to tell us. As a parent, how could you let us go through this pain and not help us? As a parent, how could you put Gabby's younger brothers and sisters through this? Gabby lived with you for over a year. She was going to be your daughter-in-law. How can you keep her location hidden? You were both at Jim and Nicole's house. You were both so happy that Brian and Gabby got engaged and were planning to spend their lives together. Please, if you or your family has any decency left, please tell us where Gabby is located. Tell us if we are even looking in the right place. All we want is Gabby to come home. Please help us make that happen." End quote. Cassie Laundrie, Brian's sister, opened up to ABC and other media outlets stating she hopes Gabby is found safe and that she has not spoken with her brother since he returned on September 1st. On September 17th, the Laundries drop a bombshell. Brian is missing. Now, mind you, the 17th is a Friday, but his parents state they hadn't seen him since Tuesday. Why did it take them so long? Police took some personal items from the family home to aid in the search. Police state this is the first time the Laundries have spoken with them regarding this case. With this news, a dual search took place on September 18th, the one for Brian Laundrie in the Carlton Reserve, filled with over 80 miles of trails, seasonal wetlands, and pine forests in Florida, where investigators believe Brian may have fled into after he told his parents he was going for a hike. His search included law enforcement from five different agencies, as well as the FBI, as they combed the area. The search was postponed by the end of the day as night fell. And for Gabby Petito, her search continued where her last communication had been, in Wyoming, in the Grand Teton National Park. The area is known for 310,000 acres of dramatic mountainous landscape, vast forests, and lakes. No clues were found that day regarding Gabby's whereabouts. Then, on September 19th, human remains were found in the Tetons. While it has not been 100% confirmed, the remains are consistent with the description of Gabby Petito. The family had been notified, and Gabby's father posted a picture of her standing in front of a wall with colorful wings. The caption he posted stated, "She touched the world." And with that, the world reacted alongside him with considerable shock and grief. Tributes poured in from all different outlets, despite the fact that there has not been a confirmation as of yet. The grip Gabby has had on the world is truly incredible. The following day, September 20th, Brian's parents, Christopher and Roberta, were escorted from their home by the FBI as law enforcement executed a search warrant of their property. At 2:30 p.m., the family's silver Mustang was towed from the driveway, and good riddance. Other boxes of belongings that were possible evidence were removed, which included hard drives. If the Laundries wouldn't break their silence, then law enforcement will. The day in which I'm recording this, Tuesday, September 21st, 2021, the case is still evolving. The Carlton Reserve in Florida was closed to the public today as Brian Laundrie has remained missing for a week now. So I've been waiting all day today for the official results of the autopsy to come back, as they were due to come back by the end of the day today. And unfortunately, the FBI has confirmed at this point that the human remains found in the Tetons do belong to that of Gabby Petito. Gabby has truly influenced the nation and, dare I say, the world. My heart goes out to her and her family. I can't possibly imagine what they are going through right now, and it makes me sick to even think about it. To all of us, we get a brief and tragic peek into her world at this time, but to her family, Gabby is their entire world. Her case sets a precedent in the response of media and law enforcement in missing persons cases. I commend her family for so bravely being an advocate in such a trying time. It shows the power of a person, a family, a community, and a nation who refuse to remain quiet. I know Emily and I have but a small imprint on this wide, wide world, but I urge anyone who listens to pay attention to missing persons cases and to be involved as possible, even if it is just sharing the story. We may not think we have influence, but maybe we can actually be just that one bit of difference. If you have any information regarding this case, Brian Laundrie is still missing at this point. So if you have any information at all, you can actually call it into the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI, or you can submit a tip online at their website, which is fbi.gov. So that is, so far, the case of Gabby Petito.